Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
It is Tuesday, and that means one thing. We're talking to our guy, Jeff Levering. As we learned last week, he's going to be on TV for this upcoming series, Brewers in Detroit, taking on the Tigers. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on in Detroit?
Good morning, guys. Not too much going on in Detroit. Had a nice off day yesterday. Walked around where the hotel is, which is not in downtown Detroit. But just a nice leisurely day. Got caught up on some things I needed to do in the old email box. You know, it's a nice off day. Nice off day.
Well, you guys,
the pizza there? I never even knew there was a Detroit pizza.
Yeah, it's kind of the tweener between Chicago style deep dish and like thin crust. It's got kind of a wave to the crust. I enjoy it. It's very tasty. It's like almost sheet pan pizza.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe it. Yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
Like
I like
stuff we used to get in grammar school, right? The square. I'm not a fan. Pizza's meant to be in a pie shape.
I don't know, man. Like as a kid, getting that rectangle pizza, that was a great lunch day.
Okay,
it was. It was a good flex. It was a good flex with a little pepperoni bits on it.
Yeah. Totally. Now the pepperoni
was
solid.
Real pepperoni. Yeah, it was bits.
Yeah, there's no chance that was real pepperoni. Now,
Jeff, what's going on with
so hot and burnt the roof of your mouth? Done till fourth period. Yeah, totally.
Jeff, what's going on with Sal Frelick? Confidence, mechanics, a little bit of both?
I think he just had too much of the rectangle pizza. No, he's fine. He's going to be fine. Listen, he's just off to a slow start. He had a couple good games in Miami where he's getting on base and getting his base hits. I just think for Sal, he just needs to go back to being him, having long at-bats, finishing at-bats strong. He's still going to hit near the top of the lineup, especially with the guys that are out right now for the Brewers. I think he's going to be fine. It's just going to take him a little bit to get there.
Yeah, is that kind of why they're just moving around the lineup, just trying to – and again, I think him leading off is more about Bryce Terang kind of being in, you know, those RBI spots of that three spot in the lineup. But and they know Sal can obviously handle it, but are they just trying to move him around to get him comfortable and get him going?
Yeah, I think so. And Bryce needs to hit in those spots. He needs to be in spots where he can be a run producer. Now when Yelly comes back and Vaughn comes back and Churio comes back, I mean, those are your big questions. You know, that's probably where Bryce Terang goes back to the top of the spot, top of the leadoff spot, or if he goes to the number two spot, we'll find out. But right now he needs to be the three hitter because he's the best hitter in that lineup right now. He and William Contreras need to be hitting back-to-back, and you got to figure it out at the top spot. But, I think I trust in Sal. I think Sal's going to be fine. More than anything, he's the kind of guy that you don't want to see in the leadoff spot as an opposing pitcher because you could open up the game and have a 12-pitch at-bat, and then you're just gassed from there. So I think that's another reason why Sal is really good at that spot.
Is it possible that once everybody does get healthy, I mean, Bryce is just off to such a great start. And again, I know we've talked about him a lot already this season, but it seems like he's taking that next step. And if he continues to take that next step, we're used to seeing him 1 and 2. Is it possible he could settle into that 3 spot even after everybody else gets healthy?
He certainly could. I mean, if he just continues to do what he's doing, there's no reason why he shouldn't be in that spot. I think that Gabe, that is predicated by what happens at the top of the order. With the leadoff spot, if you find somebody that's going to stay there, then great. I mean, think about this lineup when it's at its best. And you have either Bryce leading off, Jackson hitting second, Yelly hitting third, Contreras hitting fourth.
When it gives you that left-right balance. There.
Right. It gives you, right. Or vice versa.
You can go
vice versa too, right? So, I mean, those are the things that you sit back and you go, ooh, this is kind of fun. I like the way that this looks. And Murph is just waiting to put pen to paper and write those lineups in. And it's not too far away, at least for a couple of those guys with Vaughn and Churio. It's going to be a little longer for Yelly, but you can start to see the wheels turning once those guys start coming back.
Jeff, does Murph have to protect against Miz getting frustrated? Because he has two losses in games where he pitched pretty well, at least well enough to win. I kind of equate it to, you know, a running back having two long runs in the game, and then they come back for holding calls. You know, and sure. I've had that where I've had a big game and I'm like, someone's holding, they take away a four. Well, it's me. So let's take a 25-yard gain away. You know, does he have to guard
against, 6-yard gain?
Yeah. Guard against him becoming frustrated over stuff like that, or the pitchers just roll with it?
I think he just rolls with it. Wins and losses are kind of an arbitrary stat at this point. I think for Miz, it's good for him to go through some of these things. It's good for him to go through some of the adversity of what happened in that first inning against Miami in his last appearance. It's good for him to go through throwing 12 pitches out of the strike zone out of 13 against Boston. These are all things that he needs to learn to get through. He had, 12 starts last year? He threw 60 innings in the big leagues last year. So he needs to get through these things. He needs to learn how to navigate through them emotionally, physically, pitch through poor defense behind you, which doesn't happen often in the Brewers organization, but it does happen, right? You have to learn how to pitch through that stuff. He had Gary Sanchez catching him for the first time the other day. There were some times where there was some miscommunication. You could see it physically in the body language. Those are things that, hey, listen, I got to pitch through this. I got to find a way to do this. Giving up two runs and then having Liam Hicks at the plate, who's a number five hitter, he was late on two straight fastballs, like blown away on two straight fastballs. To throw him an 0-2 curveball is not the right sequencing. And he's got to know, that's not, I need to read the swing better on that last pitch. I need to throw a fastball here. And that's the third run. That's a decisive run in a 5-3 game.
Talking with Jeff Levering as he joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline, does every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You mentioned Gary Sanchez was the one catching him. William Contreras has had a couple of extra off days, it seems, early in this season. And it kind of seems like that's by design to make sure, hey, it's great you want to play all the time, William, but at the same time, we need you as fresh as possible when we get to August, September, potentially October, right?
Totally. It's stacking the days, right? Any opportunity you have to get him off his feet, and he wants to play every day. And I get it. You got to keep his bat in the lineup now, especially with the guys that are out. But if you can give him a day, or if you can give him half of a game off or something, those are the opportunities that you have to try and capitalize on if you're Murph. You basically have to pull the gear off of him to get him out of the game because he wants to play. But you also want him really healthy down the stretch. You got to have him healthy down the stretch. He's too important to this franchise. He's too important to this team. He's too important to the pitching staff to not have him behind the plate. So, yes, everybody needs a day off. I get that. But you do feel it when he's not in the lineup.
And there was an article today in the Journal Sentinel, or maybe it was posted last night, about Bryce Terang, and maybe he could be somebody that the Brewers want to extend. And I'm sure, obviously, as we've talked about Bryce and sung his praises. And I know, William, it's been a little different with the way they've handled his arbitration, and they eventually come to an agreement on a contract with, a club option on the end of it. Is he someone that they would really be interested in keeping around long-term and trying to get something done, even if it's a little bit more than they're comfortable with on the price range? Because, yes, his bat's important, but as you mentioned, he's really grown into a great defensive catcher, and when you have all these young pitchers, he is just such an asset to have behind the plate.
Yeah, he is, and those are conversations that I bet have happened over the last 3 years since he's been a Brewer. Let's try and keep you here. Let's try and get something done long term. It just hasn't worked out, and they've gone through the arbitration process 3 times. I think for all of the Brewers stars, they've had conversations about trying to extend them, about trying to keep them in Milwaukee for a really, really long time. But it's a two-way street. Just because there's interest from the Brewers side of things doesn't always mean that there's interest, or at least I need to do myself the process of going through free agency. I need to do this as a player. And Chewy could probably speak to that process too, right? You have to do your due diligence. I understand both sides of it, but it does take two to tango. If you want to have somebody locked up for a long time, there has to be the mutual interest to say, okay, let's put pen to paper. I love it here. Let's be a part of this thing and let's go. So it's just part of it, but I bet those conversations have been had and more than likely are ongoing.
Jeff, I don't know if Josh, he told you, but he wants bunting taken out of the game altogether. Did you like the three consecutive bunts?
Oh, he called it.
Was it the right call?
I did not say take it out.
Jeff, he called it.
Pretty sure you did.
I was sick on Friday, so I couldn't even be here to defend it. I was at the game on Thursday. I was sitting with our pal, okay, Eric Name of The Athletic, huge Brewers fan as well. And after Sal gets on, Eric just goes, three bunts in a row, screw it. We just got to do three bunts in a row. And then they bunted three times in a row, won the game. Josh called it unethical baseball, and I've been irate ever since I heard about it.
Why unethical? What is unethical about it?
Jeff, it's just I don't want to watch bunts. And three in a row really annoyed me. I understand it's what took to win the game, especially at that point in the lineup with struggling hitters. I understand all that. But as a selfish person who's watching for entertainment, I didn't like it.
Would you rather lose and not bunt?
No, I wouldn't. And I've made that clear from day one.
I was just going to say, would you rather see three straight whiffs and strikeouts? Would you rather see that?
Inherent in this is the fandom and knowing it's irrational, but still, I mean, I'm being a fan. I just don't like it. I want to see base hits.
But they are base hits.
Yeah, wow. One of them was Josh.
Okay.
There are ways to get on base. Listen, if you are facing a pitcher that cannot throw the ball, and say, listen, hey, Matt Garza's on the mound. Everybody remembers Matt Garza. He could not throw to bases.
Nope.
He could not throw to bases. If you laid down five straight bunts right at him, he would go crazy. He would go nuts. He absolutely would. And he'd throw a ball into the upper deck. Fine. Go ahead. You want to give this to me? Go ahead. Give it to me. This is how I'm going to beat you. If you don't like it, I love this phrase. If you don't like it, play better. Right? If you can't feel the bunt, learn how to feel the bunt.
Yeah, Joshy.
If I'm gonna find a way to beat you, that's how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna run all over you, I'm gonna bunt on you, and I'm gonna make you so frustrated that you don't want to play me again. That's what I want.
I hope that's
Josh,
what
the Brewers
do.
What do you
Josh,
got?
What's your feeling with intentional walks? Are you a fan or not a fan?
I don't have an opinion. I'm glad they don't have to throw four pitches anymore. That I could say for certain.
See, there you go. It saves time. Time saver. Four. You're out. Let's go. Deuces. Just take your bag. I don't care. I don't want to see you. Go ahead.
I hope they bunt four times in a row at some point in the season just to see Josh's head explode. That's what I'm rooting for at some point.
I can't wait. It might happen. It might happen on Thursday against Terry.
Against Skubal. Yeah. Could happen against Skubal. Why not? Whatever you got to do to beat him.
Know.
Whatever you got to do to win.
Whatever you got
to
do.
Jeff,
if you can get it in his head, get it in his head.
Jeff, we always appreciate the time. Have a good call. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
You got it. Take care, guys. Have a good week.
Jeff Levering in Detroit joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now, you have heard me talk about Events by Design before, and the list of things they have helped out with events across the city, it just continues to grow. They've helped out with the Milwaukee Art Museum Gala, the NeuroTool Expo. You've heard me talk about the Bucks Soiree. They can do anything. If you are a business looking to put together, you know, whether it's an appreciation party for your employees, an anniversary party for your company, this is something that Events by Design can do. And they can do the whole thing from first ideas to the final execution, or if you just need a couple of ideas for them to sprinkle in, they're going to be able to help you execute great ideas. For over 25 years, Events by Design has helped organizations create seamless, unforgettable events that leave a lasting impression. What sets them apart? It's simple. They bring fresh ideas, careful planning, and expert execution to every event they touch. So start designing your next event today. All you have to do is search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.